Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 20. Psalm 20, a psalm of David, and we'll be reading the 9 verses of this chapter. Psalm 20, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we will rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight, as we gather for this candlelight service, perhaps Psalm 20 is not one of the first texts that would come to your mind. In our Wednesday evening class, we have been studying the Bible and the structure of the Scriptures. We've looked in particular at the structure of the Psalms, the way the Psalter is put together. In the course of that study, I have been using a book by Dr. Robert Godfrey entitled Learning to Love the Psalms. And Godfrey reminds us that the Psalms are not randomly put together. They are not 150 distinct chapters that you can mix and match any way you would like. But the Psalms have a certain structure to them. There are collections of Psalms that belong together. What my Hebrew professor used to call the purposeful placement of the Psalms. And Godfrey sees one of those collections as Psalms 19 through 26. A collection, he says, about the powerful acts of God in creation and redemption. God's powerful acts in creation in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. We think of God's work of redemption in the death of his son Jesus Christ on the cross. And in Psalm 22, we read those words Christ took on his own lips, my God, why have you forsaken me? A reference to the crucifixion. We just sang from Psalm 24, a psalm about the ascension of Christ. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And Godfrey sees in Psalm 20 references to the incarnation of Christ. Now, I do not know if that was on David's mind when he penned this psalm, but it was not unusual for the authors of Scripture to speak beyond what they knew. There are levels of interpretation. They often spoke to their current context, but we know that the Psalms do look forward and speak of Christ. They are the word of Christ also to his people. So this psalm certainly fits what God did in the incarnation, in sending his own son to be the salvation of his people. Tonight we look at the coming of Christ, our Savior. The psalm begins, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble." God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to answer us in the day of our troubles. Now, this was not just troubles temporally, troubles in this life. He certainly does that. Christ answers us in our hardship. When we are going through physical trials, when we are going through spiritual difficulties, when we are hurting emotionally, Christ is there for us. But he also came to deal with our deepest trouble, which is not simply physical or spiritual or emotional. He came to deal with our sin. Answer us, O God, in the day of trouble. When we come to recognize that we have not lived as God has called us to live, God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. And God is a just God. He will call us to account for the things that we have done. When we come to recognize that, we say, I'm in trouble. There's nothing I can do to turn aside the anger of this God. And so we look to Jesus Christ. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. We read, may he send you help from the sanctuary. The sanctuary, the place where God dwells, heaven itself. May he send you help from heaven. Isn't that exactly what he did in the incarnation of Jesus Christ? God sent help from his holy sanctuary, who came down to earth. God with us, Emmanuel, as we've been talking about in our morning worship services. He sent us help in the day of our trouble from his sanctuary. David says, may the name of the God of Jacob protect you. The name of the God of Jacob as our protection. What's the name of the God of Jacob, children? When Moses was going to go speak to the people, he said, if they ask me, who is this God who sent you? What shall I say to them? And God said, I am who I am. That is God's name. I am who I am. And knowing that, you can see why the people in Jesus' day became so upset with him. We read in John chapter 8, his conversation with some of the religious leaders. They said to him, are you greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? We read in verse 56, Jesus says to them, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is connecting himself with the God of Jacob. You know, there are some people that say there's no place in the New Testament where Jesus calls himself God. They simply are not reading the text. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is declaring his own divinity. No wonder we read, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Jesus will in the book of John make 7 different I am statements about himself. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. God sends Jesus Christ to protect his people. He is our warrior king. This is a psalm which is a prayer for the king. Jesus Christ as that warrior king who protects, who guards, who watches over his people. And again, David says, may he give you support from Zion. Zion, God's dwelling place. Zion, God's holy hill. May God send you support from his dwelling place. That's exactly what he did in the sending of Jesus Christ. Sent from the sanctuary. Sent from Zion to come down and answer us in the day of trouble. To protect us by his powerful name. Jesus comes down to answer and to protect. He comes down to grant us the desires of our hearts. Verse 4, may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Now, when David says, may he grant you your heart's desire, that does not mean that he will give us everything that we want. What he is saying is, what should the desire of our heart be? The desire of our heart should be that in every part of our life, we bring glory to our God. And that is the desire that Jesus Christ will answer for us. He is the one who will rule us by his word and spirit, that we might begin to live those lives that are pleasing to God. He will rule us by his word, by instruction through his word. The necessity of coming to hear God's word again and again and be deeply into it, not only on Sunday, but throughout the week. He will give us that heart's desire when we set our hearts on him. And his word will give us strength, and his spirit will lead and guide us. Again, the spirit sent from heaven, sent from the sanctuary, sent from Zion to be a blessing to his people. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all of your plans. May he bring your desires to live for God. May he bring those plans to pass. May you see advancement as you seek to live for God. May you see his spirit moving you forward in your sanctification. May he fulfill all of your plans. From the end of the next verse, may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. When we pray to God, asking him to help us to live more like his son, Jesus Christ, we think of Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul says, to this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our Lord and God Jesus Christ. May he give you those desires of your hearts. May he fulfill your petitions as you ask him to help you in your walk with God. He blesses us. And so then in verse 5, we can begin that verse by saying, may we shout for joy over your salvation. In the name of our God, may we set up our banners. We bring praise to God for what he has done. Our hearts overflow with gratitude. And we desire to bring praise to him, and he gives us that desire of our heart. May you set the name of the Lord be set up as our banners. We think of the Old Testament, how the banners were set around the tabernacle, prepared to go into battle, prepared to live for God, but also surrounding where God would dwell, surrounding the presence of God in the midst of his people. He gives us the desire of our hearts. He allows us to come Lord's Day after Lord's Day to worship him, to enter into his earthly sanctuary, the earthly Mount Zion, and to come into the presence of our God and bring him our praise. Just a few psalms later in Psalm 27, David will say this, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That was the desire of David's heart, to be in the presence of God. It is a blessing for us to come together for worship. We are here by God's own invitation to have an audience with God himself. What a joy for the people of God. May we shout for joy over your salvation in the name of our God. May we set up our banners. We, once again tonight, come with joy to worship our God. Then David changes the psalm just a little bit. He says in verse 6, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed." Now he turns his attention not first of all on the blessings to us, that he sends his son from the sanctuary in the day of trouble to protect us, that he gives us the joy of our hearts. But now he says, "I know the Lord saves his anointed." Who is God's anointed, children? It is his son, Jesus Christ. He would send him from the sanctuary. He would send him from Zion. He would send him to his own people. But his own would receive him not. They would not recognize this glorious gift of God. And Jesus, while dwelling among sinful men and women, would be tried, would be convicted, would be sent to death. He would be crucified. But we know that was not the end of the story. The Lord did save his anointed. Jesus Christ would rise again from the dead. Death was not the end for him. And so we celebrate. We celebrate the incarnation of this child, of this baby, but it's not any baby. It is the God-man who we celebrate. The one who is God's own anointed, whom he would raise once again to new life. The one who God himself protected. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Jesus would be vindicated in his resurrection. God would save his anointed. And when we are found in him, that blessing overflows to us as well. Because of God's anointed Jesus Christ, we can now have hope. Hope in him. Verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Our hope for salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. David says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses." This was the best of military might of his day. Some trust in these strong things, but they are nothing. Nothing compared to the power of God. No, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. A picture that even the best we have to offer, even the strongest we can give to God, is nothing. Nothing if it does not have his blessing. Even our best offered to God on our own merit is but as filthy rags. We trust in the name of the Lord. We trust in that great I am. We trust in that Christ that God sent from the sanctuary to be incarnate for his people. What does David say? "Those who trust in horses and chariots, they collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright." They collapse, they fall. They have no hope in themselves. There is nothing in them that would make them pleasing to God, as there was nothing in us left to ourselves that makes us pleasing to God. No, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, then in Him we can rise, we can stand. We have assurance as God's people. We have confidence as God's people because God saves His anointed, Jesus Christ, and in Him saves us as well. David concludes, O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. It's a prayer that Jesus Christ, the true king of his people, would come back once again, would have that final victory over Satan, the final defeat of the enemy. And as we prepare for that second coming, we hear these words, may he answer us when we call. Our warrior king is also a compassionate Savior. And tonight, if you call upon him, if you put your faith in that Jesus Christ, the one sent from the sanctuary, the one sent from Zion down to earth to save his people, if you put your faith and trust in him, God will answer that prayer. He calls you tonight. Embrace Jesus Christ. Embrace this glorious, royal, kingly Son sent from God Himself to be the Redeemer of His people, and know the joy of belonging to that glorious people of God. Those who can turn to Him with joy and rejoice in His presence, who worship Him, who love to sing His praises, who gather on a night like this and join our hearts in praise to God. How we thank Him for the coming of Christ, our Savior. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all of Your Word. For all of it, we know, points us to Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank You for His willingness to leave the glories of heaven, to come down to earth in the fullness of time, and to give His life for us, His people. Lord God, tonight we rejoice in what He has done. Would You accept our songs of praise and bring glory to Yourself? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 307. In the Trinity Psalter hymnal, the 307, all my heart this night rejoices as I hear far and near sweetest angel voices. Christ is born, their choirs are singing, till the air everywhere now with joy is ringing. Forth today the conqueror goeth, who the foe, sin and woe, death and hell o'erthroweth. God is man, man to deliver. His dear Son now is one with our blood forever. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2, and then 4 and 6. Verses 1 and 2, 4 and 6, number 307. Let's stand together as we sing. Receive the parting blessing of our God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.